welcome to the Karen Kenny Show. I'm a certified spiritual mentor, hypnotist, writer, integrative change worker, and life coach. I always say, this whole being human thing is kind of like an ongoing problem. So on this show, I tell everyday stories interwoven with spiritual principles, practical tools, and plenty of humor to help us transform from pain to peace, from wound to wisdom, from your story to your glory, and ultimately, from fear back to love. Hey, welcome to the Karen Kenny Show. I'm so excited to get to spend this time together with you. If you're new to the show, thank you so much for being here. Whoever sent you here, I'm sending them a thank you through the ethers, whether they sent you a link or just said, hey, check out this show or check out this episode. So happy to have you here. Thank you. And you loyal listeners, you know that I just love the crap out of you guys. I love you. I appreciate you. Thank you so much also for tuning in and being here. So if you're new to the show, I usually take a little time at the beginning of the show to tell you what I'm calling this episode, where the inspiration for it came from. I do a little storytelling. I do a little spirituality. I like to weave in. I like to tell you where I got the idea to talk about what I'm actually talking about. And then I will sometimes tell you a little personalized story about it. But then I really like to just share some spiritual principles, some practical and applicable down-to-earth tools that you can use or apply, or a shift in perspective, or another way of looking at something, or just something that is going to be helpful, right? So I always consider these podcasts, these episodes, as a way for me to spread a little more love in the world. And it just so happens that I'm recording this episode on a day. So you're not going to hear it, obviously, on Valentine's Day, but that is when I am actually recording it. And that is only important for you to know because that is the inspiration for this episode, where my idea came from. So I like to share where I get the ideas for the shit that I'm talking about. And when I woke up this morning, I was like, you know, I always have, like, behind me, you can't see it, but over there behind me, I have a little tray thing, and I keep a bunch of different ideas for shows, just like stuff that occurs to me. And I'm like, ooh, a snippet of a conversation, and it sparks something. But this morning I woke up, I had no idea what I was going to talk about. And then something happened. So here's the deal. Valentine's Day. Okay. That's not what the show is going to be about. This sucker is called getting and giving, but it's because of this holiday that this episode is inspired. So every year on Valentine's Day, I like to just send out a little love note, a little love letter to people. And sometimes I email it. Sometimes I post it on social media or whatever. It's just this. I know that this holiday can be weird. Can be weird for a lot of people. And it can feel kind of awkward for people. And it can feel like a drag. It can make some people feel sad. Some people feel mad. And some people just end up feeling bad, right? Because of all the structures of the systems that are in place. And the way that we kind of think about, quote unquote, love. And how we sometimes will often reserve it just for special relationships, you know. In A Course in Miracles, we often say that special love relationships often turn into special hate relationships. Hello, check out the divorce rate. Okay, but here's the thing. So we have all these made up, man-made holidays and, you know, Mother's Day, Father, like just go down the list. And not everybody feels that fantastic when the rest of the world maybe is celebrating a particular holiday. And Valentine's Day can be tender for a lot of people for a lot of different reasons. You know, grief has a an interesting way of showing up in lots of different people's lives. And you know, for some people, their sweetie just died, or a partner they just broke up with, or a friendship. You know, Valentine's Day makes us very relationship centric. It makes us very focused on that. And so it can be tough, especially because we have a whole slew of companies that are capitalizing on the commercialization of this very conditioned kind of holiday and the patterns that go with it, right? The habits and conditioned patterns that go with it, like must buy flowers, must buy chocolates, must make romantic gestures, must do whatever. It started back when we were kids, you know, when we were little kids, remember? You would, like, we couldn't always afford them, which is, that's a story for another day. But you know, the little packets of like 24 or 15 or whatever they are, you know, little Valentine's Day. And, you know, my mother, I will say this, my mother, like, always said, like, you know, everybody in your class is going to get one of these cards. We didn't get to play favorites. We didn't get to say, well, I don't like that kid. You know, he can't get one. We couldn't always afford to get them. But I know what it's like to be a kid in a classroom, seeing everybody else maybe get a card. And then one of those little shits, right? One of those little bastard kids didn't give you one. And you would just feel, you'd feel yourself just like, murr, 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 just like melting inside. Oh, it's just so awful. So there's just a lot of ways that this holiday can bring up feelings for people. And so I always like to do a little post to remind people that they don't have to play this whole game, right? They don't have to, unless they want to, like, unless you want to, like, there are some people who love this holiday and, like, have at it. If it's your thing, like, enjoy the shit out of it. Have fun. But not everybody does. Okay. So again, I write this email. And one of the things that I'm talking about is this. I'm just going to share a little bit. I say, you know, you don't have to play the game of, like, quote unquote Valentine's Day, right? Unless you want to. And you don't have to feel left out unless you choose to. And you definitely don't have to feel less than because you're not in a quote unquote relationship with a significant other or others. Love's not only for or about romantic relationships. I cannot stress this enough. And remember, it's all fucking made up. All this shit is made up anyways, okay? Meaning all the holidays and all the quote unquote rules and stuff about it. Okay, so love's not only about romantic relationships. Love is all around us and available to each of us. It doesn't matter whether you are single. It doesn't matter if you're partnered, if you're married, if you're divorced, if you're widowed. None of that matters, okay? Here's the bottom line. Here's the truth no matter what. And this is a spiritual thing, right? So we get very hung up on body identification. And this is a whole other podcast for another time. And so much of the work that I do as a spiritual mentor, and part of it is helping people, right? And this is also what A Course in Miracles does, is helping people to start to shift their identification from a body identification to more of a spirit identification. Okay. And in that realm, we are, right? Love. Not only are we loved, but we are love. And this is something that we often forget. Now, don't worry. I'm going to make the point about this episode, getting and giving. I'm getting there. I'm kind of taking the long way there, but I want to set it up. Okay. So love isn't just reserved for, like, romantic, sexual, intimate relationships. Love is all around us. So, and here's the part where we're getting down into it, right? So this is what I wrote. You are loved. You are lovable and you are loving. And it's that last one that I really want to focus on for today's episode. You are loving. Yes, you're loved. Yes, you're lovable, but you are loving. And to me, that's saying that you are capable of loving, right? And one of the most powerful loving things you can do is to love yourself. And I'm not talking in some big, grandiose, egocentric, like, aren't I, like, quote unquote, special? I don't mean it like that. But truly, truly learning how to be in relationship with yourself, both your ego personality self, right? Paying the consequences of being that self, but also your higher self, your capital S self. Right? So we have the small s self, right? That ego personality. And then we have that capital S self. So one of the most powerful loves that you can have is self-love. And I personally think that every day is an opportunity, is a great opportunity to spread love. Like, why just reserve it for, like, Valentine's Day or these particular holidays when people kind of wax nostalgic and get a little mushy, right? Why not celebrate love? I think every day is love day. I think every day should be a day to celebrate love. So this is what I was talking about. right? It's that you are capable of loving. So if you are not potting it up or whatever on Valentine's Day, you can still celebrate. You can start with you for you, you to you. And then you let that generosity of love that you have out. You let it grow. You let it expand to include other humans, your neighbors, right? People you go to yoga class with, whatever. You let it expand out to animals, to nature, to the environment. It's all around us, right? And here's the point. Here's now the heartbeat of what this whole episode is about. I'm just kind of warming things up here, right? It can be so easy on Valentine's Day to focus on the love that you think you're not getting. I'm going to say that again. It can be wicked easy, especially on Valentine's Day, to just focus on, like laser-like focus, because this is what the brain can do sometimes, right? The brain has this negativity bias, and it loves to zone in on all the shit that's not working, all the stuff that bothers you, all the ways that things aren't quote-unquote right, right? It can be really easy on this day to focus on the love that you think you're not getting. However, let's turn this around a little bit. Because today, especially if you're into the whole holiday, Valentine's Day or whatever, but any day, I think any day we get to do this, but we'll keep it focused on this. So it's a wicked fun opportunity to focus on the love that you could be giving. So as I often tell my students, as I often tell my clients, like, don't be stingy with your love. Like, let's not reserve it for special occasions. Right? Let's not like withhold it and then be like, go full out, right? Every day we have an opportunity. And I say, like, let that sucker amplify way out. Let that love spread out beyond. Just let it spread out throughout your life in so many beautiful and creative and magical ways. So you're sitting around, you're having a little pity party, you're feeling sorry for yourself, you're focusing all the love you think you're not getting because you're not in some relationship, you don't have a boyfriend, a girlfriend, a partner, a sweetie, a lover, whatever it is, right? Here's some other things you can do. Now, you might laugh and shake your head, and I'm going to talk more about this, like I'm going to go into this a little bit deeper in a second, but listen to these little creative and magic things. This is what I said. I'm like, put up a bird feeder. You want to show a little love? Put up a bird feeder for the winter birds. The ones who have stuck around, the ones who have stuck around to share their beauty and their song with you. Go to your local shelter, walk some abandoned dogs, go and pet some of the cats. If you have allergies, maybe that's not the thing, right? If you have a fear of dogs, whatever, maybe that's not your thing. But you want to go spread some love. It doesn't have to just be to humans. You can go out, you can plant a garden, get your hands in the soil, grow some food, gift some zucchinis to your neighbor. That just sounded funny. Share your bounty, right, with your community. Go visit some old folks, right? Some people in elderly care who have no kin and never get any visitors. Go sit, hang out with them for a while. Go read some books to little kids. Volunteer at your local library. Spend some time at a soup kitchen. When we become really focused on the love we think we're not getting, we go into this contraction, right? It's like we shrink down. We become, you know, like in the Grinch, when his hat was so tiny and so small, you couldn't even see it. You needed a magnifying glass, right? Because he was just like up there judging everybody down in Whoville. And he just thought, I'm gonna screw things up for them. I'm gonna go down there and I'm gonna take all their presents. I'm gonna take all their food. I'm gonna take all their stuff for their feast and all their lights and their tree, like everything. And what happened? They kept right on doing what they do. They just kept on keeping on, right? And he just was like, what? Because he was focusing on what he wasn't getting. So then he decided to be stingy. Not only be stingy, he went down there and stole everything because he's like, if I feel this shitty, then you've got to feel shitty along with me. That's what focus on lack of what I don't have. So what if we stop focusing on what we don't have or don't think we have, and instead we focus on what we actually do have? How about we stop focusing on what we're not getting and we start to think about what we could be giving? Go out, do some racks, like do some random acts of kindness, right? Go out, help some people, and just feel how your heart grows. Go out and have the experience. Just start with your friends, right? Maybe you and your family are disenfranchised. You don't speak to each other, whatever. If you got at least even one friend, and that friend could be an animal, might not even be a human. Tell that friend how much you love them, how much you appreciate them. What it is we get caught up in this special love, this special idea. And I get it. Guys, I get it. We have a loneliness epidemic going on right now. And I just think, like, when you learn to befriend yourself and become your own best friend, you start there. You start to have like self-esteem. You have esteem for yourself. You have compassion for yourself. You have kindness for yourself. You're good company. You know, I often think about, you know, people who want to have relationships. And I'll say, but wait, are you being the kind of person that another person would want to be in relationship with? Start by loving yourself. And again, I don't mean in that wicked, egotistical, selfish kind of self-aggrandizing way where you just think you're the, you know, I think it's wonderful to think you're the bee's knees and the cat's pajamas. I think I'm the bee's knees and the cat's pajamas and the cat's meow, right? Like, I think it's important to befriend yourself, to love yourself. And we start there with that little spark, and then it can grow and grow and grow and grow, right? So we don't want to be stingy with our love. Don't be stingy with your love to yourself. And it's from that place that you can then go out into the world, right? You might meet somebody while you're volunteering. You might meet somebody at the dog park. You might meet somebody, right? So we start by just starting to focus on the love that is available to us. Divine love is always available to us. And this is why, as a spiritual mentor, I love helping people to start to cultivate, to start to question, to start to think about and talk about their relationship to the divine, whatever they might call that, universe, higher power, higher self, God, source, the beloved, right? The divine. I don't care what we call it, spirit, right? But when we have faith, when we have faith in something greater than, right? Greater than with just this illusion, with just this everyday bullshit human experience, right? There's some beautiful things in the human experience. I'm not saying that. But when we start to tap into something greater than, sometimes, right? When we're in that loop of gratitude and awareness, like, oh my God, I am a part of something bigger than me. And yeah, maybe I don't have a boyfriend or a girlfriend or fiance or a partner or a wife or a husband or a sweetie or a lover, like whatever your you know, all the our honeys, your baby, whatever you call people, right? Maybe currently you don't have that, but you do have a relationship with yourself, and you can have a relationship with the God of your own understanding. You can have a relationship with the inner teacher within you, with your spiritual team, with your furry kids, with your companion animals, whatever you call them. Right? Maybe your family of origin is not available to you for 1,000 different reasons, but we can choose our family. That's what our friends are. And so this is one of the things that I was thinking about, right? And I want to share some examples with you and why my brain thinks this way, right? When we, because I have for at least 30 years. Okay, first of all, I fell in love with St. Francis. And look, you don't have to be religious. You don't even have to be particularly spiritual to get the point of what I'm about to share. But I fell in love with St. Francis of Assisi when I was a little kid for a couple of different reasons. One, he is the patron saint of animals in the environment. And of course, total animal lover over here, right? I've been vegan for over 20 years. I've always loved animals, always love animals. Animals are my safe place, my natural comfort. They are like, it's very uncomplicated, my relationship between me and animals. I just love them so much. And they teach me so much, and they soothe my nervous system and ground me. And there's so much uncomplicated love between me and animals. So I really always appreciated St. Francis. I thought he was very simple, meaning clear, right? I love that he would go out into the woods and into like meadows and fields, and he would preach to the animals. He would share his love of the divine to the animals, you know, and he treated them as his equal, as his brothers and sisters. And I just loved that. I just thought it was beautiful. And there's so many great stories about him taming a local wolf by showing him compassion and like all these different things, right? So I've always just dug him. And then when I decided to start practicing passage meditation, which I was taught by my teacher, Ishwaran, you know, passage meditation is when you memorize a passage from whether it's a religious book or a spiritual text or whatever, right? Some sacred prose of some tradition of some kind. And I chose the prayer of St. Francis. And I've been saying this prayer. I've been meditating on this prayer for at least 30 years. And the reason why I'm sharing this is there's the why I love this prayer so much. And even if you're not, again, you don't have to be like the praying kind to understand the power of the words in this prayer. And what it's doing systematically, in my opinion, it's breaking down our ego. It is breaking down that ego personality. And instead of showing up and asking for everything, right, we ask to be made as givers. Rather than focusing on what we're not getting, we ask to, like, we start to train our mind. I think of this prayer as mind training, you know, and so often our suffering is happening because we have undisciplined minds. We have untrained minds. And of Course in Miracles, it says, you know, an untrained mind, an undisciplined mind can accomplish nothing. It's basically, I'm paraphrasing, but it's basically saying, you know, you basically get in your own way so much, you can't really get much shit done. Of course, I'm paraphrasing. Course in Miracles doesn't swear, but it's like, you don't really get a lot of shit done because you have an undisciplined mind. And when you are trying to transform yourself, when you are trying to change yourself from the inside out, it really helps to have a disciplined mind. And passage meditation also helps us to learn how to place our mind where we want it. So we're not getting thrown about by these random thoughts and these triggers and all this stuff, right? So it's an incredible practice. And why I love the prayer, again, of St. Francis is, and just listen to these words for a moment. Just you might be double amen hands if you are, I was a Catholic kid growing up, right? I don't particularly, I always say I don't identify as Catholic, but I don't not identify, right? It's part of my childhood upbringing. But I'm kind of like a free agent these days, right? I'm a spiritual mutt. That's what I always say. But listen to the words of this. It's so fantastic. And I always say, if you don't like particular words like Lord or whatever, just say a different word. Okay. So I want you to pay attention to how it's not asking. You know, so many people, I think, try to use spirituality to like manifest shit, like physical stuff in the world. Like, I want the fancy car. I want all the money. I want the job. I want the sex. I want the relationship. I want all the stuff. I want all the things, right? And I love this because this is about not about getting stuff in the world. It's not about getting stuff from out there. It's about getting stuff in here, right? That's what I love about this. So pay attention to the language and what this prayer is really conditioning the mind and conditioning the heart, I think, as well, what it's really asking for. Okay, listen, Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. So right off the bat, I want to be an instrument of peace. That's powerful. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. So where some negative, like, you know, think about that word, how strong of a word that is. Where there's hatred, let me, like me personally, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon, right? It's like where something has gone wrong, where somebody has been hurt, can I bring forgiveness, right? Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. All right, just that first little paragraph, that little couplet, that little stanza, right? It's saying, make me an instrument of peace. Let me be a bringer of love. Let me be have the capacity to forgive people, to bring faith when people are doubting themselves, right? Help me to bring hope to people when they're despair, when they're hurting. Where there's darkness, may my presence bring light. May I bring joy to those where there is sadness, right? This is powerful medicine. Then it goes on to say, O divine master, grant that I may not so much seek. And this is the path that I love. This is coming back to what I'm talking about in this whole episode. Don't focus on what you're not getting, what you think you're lacking, what you're not getting from others. Focus on what you're giving. Okay, listen to this. Grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. So these three lines are saying, like, basically, like, hey, help me to stop being so consumed with me wanting to be consoled by everybody. How about I get my shit together, get my ass in gear, and I go out and do some consoling? How about I stop worrying about, does everybody understand me? Am I being understood? And why don't we learn to listen and communicate with the desire to understand others, our brothers and sisters, people who maybe think differently than us, vote different than us, love different. You know, I don't think we love is love is love, but you know what I'm saying, right? People who maybe come from communities that you aren't a part of. And so maybe you haven't wrapped your head around it and you got some prejudice and you got some racism and you got some hate in your heart. Right? Maybe I can start to focus on not my point of view being heard and being understood. What if I put a little more energy into understanding others? And what if I didn't sit around whining and crying and bitching and moaning about the love I'm not getting? What if I made it my purpose to be somebody who is doing the loving? And I'm gonna circle back because I already know, I can already hear people going like, yeah, but KK, I'm like, don't worry, I got you. I'm coming back. Let me finish the prayer. Okay. So he goes on to say, for it's in giving that we receive. It is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned. That's like saying it's in forgiving others that we are forgiven. Okay. And then it says, it's in dying that we are born to eternal life. And by here, it means dying to that small S self, that egotistical little bastard, right? That ego personality that keeps us wanting to be separate and special and all that stuff. It's in letting that part of ourselves that's always focusing on, well, what am I getting? What are you giving me, right? That part of us that's like over worried about that. That part of you is not thinking about, well, what am I giving? Where am I being stingy with my love? Where am I lacking in the giving love department? And in A Course in Miracles, you know, in chapter 17, which is a chapter on forgiveness, is a line that says, only what you have not given can be lacking in any situation. Only what you have not given can be lacking in any situation. So when we think we're withholding love from another person because we're not getting from them what we think we want, right? We're the ones withholding love. And if we withhold it from them, we are also withholding it from ourselves. Okay? I'm going to talk more about this in a minute. But it makes me think about, you know, how, again, we become consumed about what we're getting out of everything when we could be focusing on what we could be giving. Now, I feel like I have to say that because there's some caveats to these rules, right? And this isn't about doing 1,000 disclaimers, but I do want to make a point. I'm not saying that you should stay in shitty friendships, shitty relationships, shitty jobs where that are completely unbalanced. Like, I've done plenty of episodes about this, that if you're in friendships or relationships or situations where you are always giving, 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 and the other people never reciprocate and they never give back to you, I'm not saying that. Okay, let's use our common sense. Let's use our brains. You guys have big brains, right? Right? Dear loyal listener, I know you're picking up what I'm putting down. There are, what's the word I'm looking for? exceptions to every rule, right? So what I'm saying here, I'm not saying stay with somebody abusive or stay with somebody who's, you know, totally out of control with their addictions and, you know, it's not a good situation, because that's not loving to yourself, right? And we don't give and give and give and give and give like a mata and then get resentful. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is when we're tempted to only focus on what we're not getting in any situation, ask yourself, well, what am I bringing to this relationship? What am I bringing to this marriage? What am I bringing to this collaboration? What am I bringing to this friendship? What am I bringing, right, to this group effort, this community? Because it can be really easy to sit alone in your house and in your room and, you know, again, have a pity party and feel sorry for yourself. But we got to ask ourselves, well, what have I been actively doing to let love know that I'm open for business, right? That I am here to serve, right? It's in giving that we receive. And it reminds me, I can't talk about this without talking about, if you don't know what Humans of New York is, it's an account on social media. And I've been following it like way back in the day before it like blew up. And now it's huge. And I will never forget, I think the first time I saw this post, I want to say it was like 2013 maybe, right? And so this, so what Humans of New York is, it's a guy who's a photographer and he goes out and he would capture pictures. He would take pictures of people and then he would ask them questions or ask for a little snippet of their story. Nowadays, he'll do like full blown stories, like 11 posts long. It's intense. It's incredible. But back then it would just be a snippet and then like a little piece of a story or a conversation. And I'll never forget it. This one picture of this woman, older, like must be in her 80s, at least late 80s. And you can just imagine her wrinkly skin and her big, beautiful eyes. And she was wearing this little kind of fuzzy hat. And the caption underneath it, and this has always stayed with me, the caption underneath it from her was this. I'm going to quote her. She says, "When my husband was dying, I said, Mo, how am I supposed to live without you? He told me, take the love you have for me and spread it around. Take the love you have for me and spread it around," which is just so incredibly wise, so incredibly wise. And it goes back to my point about how sometimes, you know, we get really hung up on this special idea of love. When love is available to us all around us, just look around. Start with love for yourself and then take that love that you have maybe for a loved one that is no longer with us. And I'm not saying in the beginning, I know how crippling grief can be, but at some point, you know, I played this great song in yoga class that says, you know, grief is only love that's got no place to go. And I think grief is a lot more than that, but it's a poignant, like he's making a point, right? There's that, maybe poignant isn't the right word, but there's power in that statement that so often it's like we have all this love that we had for a person or an animal or something, and that person is no longer physically here. And it's like, I just have this love that I was so used to giving. And it's like, well, you can give it to other people. You can spread it around, like Mo says, right? Like I said, go volunteer somewhere. Go to the soup kitchen. Go to the old folks' home. Go to the library. Go to your local animal shelter. Ask how I can be of service. Because when we take the focus on what we're no longer getting, like they're dead or they're not here or my relationship ended or I'm lonely and all these things, and I'm not saying those feelings aren't valid. And I'm not saying we rush through them or whatever. Grief takes as long as it takes. You take your time, right? And if we only focus on what we're not getting, it's going to feel kind of sucky. And instead, if we shift our perception, like St. Francis teaches us to do, right? Make me an instrument of your peace. I'm not waiting for other people to do it. I'm not waiting for other people to bring love to my door. I'm going to go out and I'm going to be the instrument, the pilgrim of love, as Swami Kripalu would say, right? I'm going to be the instrument of peace. I'm not going to wait around waiting to just be consoled. I'm going to learn how to console, how to be a good person in partnership, how to be a good friend, how to listen, to really listen, right? To learn how to understand people, not just waiting for you to stop talking so now I can make my point and be understood, right? It's learning how to not just focus on the love you're getting, but the love that you are giving in any situation. It's a pretty powerful way to approach things and to look at things. And like I said, I get it, you know, if we just focus on what we don't have, we're going to miss out on all that we do have. We're going to miss out on what's already available to us. Like, love is just always right there waiting to be downloaded, you know, and it's free. It's free. It's a free resource. Now, I get it. Sometimes, right? We don't know how to love ourselves. I remember the first time somebody told me to just love myself, and I started to cry, and they were like, "What's wrong?" And I'm like, "I don't know how to do that." So this was a process. These were things that I had to actually actively seek out and learn how to do. I had to read some books. I had to get some mentors, get some coaching, right? Like, learn how to do it, right? And back in the day, we didn't have coaches, right? What I had was books, audio CDs, and lectures. Like, you had to go to shit in person, and then maybe you could buy a cassette tape, a cassette tape or a book. So I did it old school. But you guys don't have to do it old school anymore. But I will say this, right? If this is something that you're kind of caught in a victim loop about, if you like just keep chasing your own tail about this kind of thing, right? I have openings for one-to-one spiritual mentoring and hypnotists, right? And hypnosis. This is the work that I do, right? I'm not a quote-unquote relationship coach. Although when you work with me, right, I do help you to improve your relationship with yourself, with source and spirit. So in that way, right, in that way, we are working on relationships. But really, it's your relationship to yourself and to the world around you, your relationship to love, like the perceptions that you have in your own head. And when we can start to shift our perception from a place of fear to a place of love, right, when we can learn to shift from fear to love, that is a miracle. And that's when all kinds of fantastic things can happen. So I hope that this landed in some way for you, right? And again, I'm not trying to diminish people's loneliness, you know, because I get it. People can say like, oh, you know, you have a sweetie, you are partnered, like da 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 da. Yeah, you know what? I've also spent time by myself. I have spent time alone. And I actually, here's what I want to say, and I've said it on other episodes. When you start to like yourself, when you start to love yourself, when you befriend yourself, like I am one of my own best friends. And when you start to be able to do that, I don't feel lonely anymore. I mean, growing up, I felt so alone. I could be in the biggest crowded room, even getting attention, right? And my nervous system just could not. I always felt alone. I felt misunderstood. I felt alone. I felt lonely, even in a crowded room. And I don't feel lonely anymore. You know, I don't know. Like I always say, like if my sweetie were to, God forbid, knock on wood, like die, untimely death, he's only in his 50s, you know, I'm not saying I wouldn't experience loneliness again. But there's something about extending love to yourself and then growing that spark and expanding out. It's also about recognizing that you are loved by the beloved, by God, by source, by the universe, whatever you want to call it, right? And if we can deepen that connection to our spiritual self, it can really shift things in the world of form. You know what I'm saying? In the physical realm. So take the love that you have and spread it around, right? As I always tell my students and my clients, don't be stingy with your love. Start with yourself and then expand it out. Just let it ripple out exponentially. And just know that you are loved, right? You are loved. I may not know you personally, but if you're a listener of this show, I am extending love to you through this show every week. I am trying to spread the love and to spread the good word and to share things that might be helpful so that you can improve your relationship with yourself and maybe look at these kinds of things a little differently so that you can be self-resource. So you can learn to start to heal and help your nervous system and shift your mindset. And, you know, it's like little sips, as Linda Tai says, of like little personal development, little spiritual mentoring. You know, that's what this show is about. So I'm sending you so much love wherever your day takes you today, too. You know, I always end the show by saying, you know, hey, wherever you go, leave the people, the place, the animals, the environment better than how you found it, right? Wherever you go, may you be a blessing. So like wherever you go, take the love with you, blast love in front of you, blast love to all the people around you. Any conversation you're about to have, you know, send love out in all directions, you know, use love, keep love in your heart and your mind. I'm telling you, it improves things. It changes things on an alchemical level, right? There is an alchemy to love. And if we just reserve it for just your kids, your immediate family, your origin, the people who look like you and talk like you and believe like all that stuff, you are missing out, man. You are missing out. So be generous. Be generous with your love. And let's shift our minds to what we are giving and not just what we're getting. Okay. Have a great week. Thanks so much for listening to the show. I really love spending some time together. Now, if you dig the show or know someone that could benefit from this episode, please share it with them and help me to spread the good word and the love. And if you want to be in the know about all of my upcoming shenanigans, head on over to karenkenny.com/signup and join my list. It'll be wicked fun to stay in touch. Bye!